mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. One should, for example, be able to see that things are hopeless and yet be determined to make them otherwise. F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Dialogue.
Hello, America. Hello, Washington, D.C. This is Mark Levine. I am a former congressional attorney. Used to work for the Democrats. In fact, I wrote the brief challenging the 2000 Florida electors for the Congressional Black Caucus. But for the last 5 years, I've been on radio and occasionally television giving you the inside scoop. That's the name of my show, The Inside Scoop. And I'm always honored to come here on Tuesdays to host an edition of Dialogue, where we strive to discuss controversial issues, but to do so with civility. To attack ideas, to be sure, but not to attack the people giving them. And I really think that the beginning of this show, the quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald, says exactly what I strive to do today when I discuss a very controversial topic. To ask people to hold two contradictory ideas in their head at the same time. To consider a question from every point of view. It is a very controversial issue. The situation in Gaza. And it's one on which people have very, very strong emotions. So I'm going to ask you to express yourself, of course, that's what dialogue is about, but also to please be civil, both with me and with others with whom you disagree. Let's see if there are any good options. I'm not so sure there are any good options. So when you call in, I want you to think about this situation from other points of view. I want you to think, what would you do? How would you feel if you were a Palestinian Arab? What would you do? How would you feel if you were an Israeli? What would you do if you were in charge of the Israeli government? What would you do if you were a member of Hamas? What is the psychology behind what's going on? How do we prevent wars from starting? And is there ever a just self-defense? Barack Obama said in July, this is a direct quote, "If somebody was sending rockets into my house where my two daughters sleep at night, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop that. And I would expect Israelis to do the same thing." But Israel, of course, during the truce, so-called truce with Hamas, endured many missiles. And when the truce ended, they endured hundreds. They went to the United Nations. The United Nations didn't want to address it. Israel leaders went to Egypt. And Egypt apparently gave them the green light for this attack. But has Israel gone too far? Israel has said they will stop the attacks the minute Hamas stops shooting its missiles. But can Hamas be expected to stop shooting its missiles? Why is Hamas shooting missiles at all? They say they want to destroy the entire state of Israel, but is that a realistic goal in their minds? And what about the Palestinian people stuck in the middle? The poor Gazan who happens to live near a military base. Thus far, there are more than 300 dead. More than 300, I should say, members of Hamas are dead. But that's out of about 360, 370 people. That obviously means that civilians are dead as well. Can you attack someone that's out to get you without killing some civilians too? It's interesting, Hamas, of course, has killed its share of civilians, not just in Israel, but also in Gaza. A misfired rocket, even before the current conflict, killed two young girls, one 5 and one aged 12. What is the answer? Is there an answer? Is this a conflict that's going to go on forever and ever and ever? Or is there a way out? The United Nations Charter says in Article 51, "Nothing in the present charter shall impair the inherent right of individual or collective self-defense if an armed attack occurs against a member of the United Nations until the Security Council has taken measures necessary to maintain international peace and security." Does that help us at all? When you call in, I want to ask not just about this situation, but about other situations, similar situations. To me, the essence of a moral position is to be consistent with that position in other situations. How did you feel about the United States' response in Afghanistan when we were attacked on September 11th? Was that a justified war? Was it justified when the Japanese attacked America at Pearl Harbor for the United States to respond? Should Israel have simply endured the missiles, which were only killing a few of its citizens? Sure, there were several hundred. Sure, they were getting larger in size. But simply allowed its citizens to die and recognized that any response it would give really wouldn't solve anything. What is the answer here? The number's 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. As I said, my name is Mark, and when you call in, I will ask about other situations, because I think it's important to take ourselves outside of ourselves. If you say, I'm a Jew and I believe this because I'm a Jew, I'm an Arab and I believe this because I'm an Arab, then I would suggest to you that's not moral wisdom, but tribal wisdom. That's not human wisdom, but a belief that you have to defend your own. I think we can go beyond that. I think we can go beyond that and try to determine a general question. Do you agree, for example, with Article 51, that the United Nations says that every nation has the inherent right of self-defense? Or do you think there are limits? Can self-defense be disproportional? Do you think that Israel should stop its war before Hamas stops its missiles? Do you think there's any way out for the Palestinian people? I mean, how would you feel if you were a Palestinian that supported the Palestinian Authority, a group that's striving to make some peace with Israel, but let's face it, has had a corrupt past? Or maybe you voted for Hamas because you were aware of the Palestinian Authority's corrupt past. Maybe you didn't believe Hamas when they said that they would do everything they can to destroy Israel. Maybe you thought they would simply rely on doing what they could to protect Gaza. What is the answer here? 202-588-0893. Caller, you're on the line. Welcome to the show.
What is the answer here? 202-588-0893. Caller, you're on the line. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello, welcome.
All right. Well, I just wanted to basically start off by refraining from positing any sort of strategic directive for either side. I think that should be left to those parties involved. Someone who might be probably a military strategist. I'm simply going to say that you asked about the psychology of what's going on, and I think that looking at this completely neutrally, that we're looking at this as ecumenism from the perspective of the Jews with regards to the directive of the Talmud and possibly more remotely the Protocols of Zion. I think that looking at it from the Palestinian perspective, I'm completely innocent, but I would say that, or I'm completely unknowledgeable, ignorant, not innocent, that they're looking at it as simply a protective measure for the occupation of what they considered to be previous to 1948 as their homeland. And previous to that, historically, I'm completely in the dark about it, but contemporaneously, I think we're looking at this completely the Jews are looking at this as a part of their ecumenical directive and manifesto based upon the Talmud.
Well, let's try to take this out if I can. I want to remove this for one second from sort of Jews and Palestinians and Muslims and ask yourself in general. Do you think that Hamas, for example, shooting the missiles into Israel, why do you think they were doing it? Did you think that they thought they were actually going to achieve their goal of destroying Israel that way? Or do you think that they wanted this very strong Israeli response?
Well, you know, I haven't been keeping up with the blow-by-blow context of it. I'm just looking at it, again, completely neutrally, and I'm looking at it completely objectively as a third party. Aside from my own Jewish heritage, lineage, the past, possibly, that there may have been. Is there such a thing? Let me ask you this. Do you think that there's such a thing as Jewish fundamentalism and the fundamentalism?
Sure, there's fundamentalism. I think there's fundamentalism in virtually every religion I know.
Okay.
and I tend to disagree with fundamentalism in every religion I know, whether it be Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu. I think that fundamentalism tends to have a position where you think you cannot be wrong. And if there's one thing I'm absolutely certain of, is that no one has the full truth.
Okay, and now, do you think that that's being practiced and patterned in the Gaza crisis right now, and with respect to the way that you know the United States has alignment with that agenda through IPAC. Do you think that that's a possibility, that that Jewish fundamentalism is being promoted?
You know, it's interesting. I think that Israel has come a long way from its. I mean, you know, the idea that it completely withdrew from Gaza in order to see if missiles would be shot at it, I think was an extraordinary risk. I can't imagine many countries doing that. But right now, they're in. I think they're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right,
if they do nothing, they get missiles shot at them. And if they attack back, then they're criticized. So the question is, how do you thread the needle? How do you stop attacks from someone who is sworn to destroy you? But I thank you for your call. I've got some other people on the line. I want to get to them as well. Let me go to Ajarba. Ajarba, I want to know if you agree with Barack Obama when he said, if someone was sending rockets into my house for my two daughters sleep at night, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop that. Or do you think that maybe you shouldn't do everything in your power and maybe you should relax a bit, recognizing that probably they won't kill your daughters?
Do you think that maybe you should do everything in your power and maybe you should relax?
Hello, are you on the air? Jarba, you got to turn your radio down because I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, please.
Well, first of all, I think that everything in your power doesn't necessarily mean shooting people. Everything in your power could also mean reasoning and thinking and talking together. But when I first came on the phone, he asked me to have a question. Well, I'm taking all of the race categories out, all of the religious aspects of it out. And I just want to deal with the principle of man to man.
Okay.
If I come into your house and I tell you, this is my house, you got to get out because my great granddaddy said that I should have this house because his ancestors used to work here or whatever the reason it might be. And if I come into your house to take your house from you, it's like the McCoys and those other guys that fight. It's going to go on year after year, century after century. You're going to fight my kids.
So you think there can never be two
kids going to fight?
Ajarba, do you think there can ever be two states living together in peace, or do you think that's an impossibility?
I don't think anything is impossible, but I think that you can't start history today. You have to go back to when it started. The Native Americans were here when the so-called settlers came.
That's true.
And they have fought those settlers. Like the Arabs are fighting the Jews.
Ajarba,
do you be a whole other history.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. I want to try to get a consistent principle here.
And China and mainland China from
let me ask you this.
Hong Kong.
Would it be justified for a Native American terrorist group to try to kill all the let me ask my question, then you can respond. Would it be justified if they were to try to kill all the whites and blacks and Asians and people who are not Native Americans, the 99% of us that are here after an awful history of genocide and occupation, and I'm well aware of the Trail of Tears and the awful things we did to Native Americans. Would it therefore be justified for Native Americans to go around and shoot children and do so until every white, black, and Asian person left the United States of America?
What I think is unjustified is that the descendants of the people who were responsible for this are not saying, okay, let's all come to the table and share in this at this table and share the benefits that we've all reaped from this.
I agree there needs to be two states, but let me ask you this
from your point of view.
Well, no, I'm just trying to understand. So you don't think it would be justified for Native Americans to shoot every white, Asian, black person here?
Couldn't do it because white people, first of all, got the strongest gun power.
It's true.
And they always show you that if you try to attack them, they will kick your you-know-what.
It's true.
So nobody's going to come up against them.
So what goal? So let me just try to understand here.
Power in a position of authority from Barack Obama on down. Either sit down at the table like we tell our children. What do you tell your children when they have an altercation at school?
Well, let me ask you about that. Let's say you've got a child and you've got a bully at school who's constantly hitting your child. Now, your child's bigger than that other child, okay? Your child can beat up that other child, but that child is constantly hitting your son, constantly. He's hitting him. Sometimes he even, you know, takes like a hammer and hits at him. What And your son says, let's talk about it. And the guy says, I don't want to talk. I want to kill you. And what should he tell the teacher to try to stop this child? Should he just sort of undergo the abuse?
No, I tell what I do because I'm an active person and I have a lot of love in my heart and I'm an excellent mediator. I go to the school. I tell the principal and the teacher. I said, call the parents in.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to sit down and talk about this.
What would you do if the principal refused?
This person that y'all are calling a bully needs help.
Right.
If you don't get help for this boy, he's going to end up in jail or killing somebody or dead himself.
So what would you do if the principal refused? It's just interesting. In this case, Israel waited for a number of weeks while hundreds of missiles. They went to the United Nations. The United Nations says, we're not going to help you. In Lebanon, when they went in, the United Nations says, oh, we'll stop Hezbollah. And they didn't stop Hezbollah. What do you do when the positions of authority are not there to restrain people? I mean, I don't know. Would you support international troops in Gaza?
No. I support that, number one. First of all, I don't think it should have happened in the first place. The United Nations should never have voted to have this situation manifested by law. It should have never happened.
But you mean the creation of the state of Israel?
What has happened is that the people of the Palestinian people are hurt. You cannot heal pain by inflicting more pain or ignoring the other people's point of view. And we and people in the United States of America government have a tendency to do that. If you don't support their point of view, they ignore you. And
that's
what's causing these problems. When the bomb happened and the plane flew into the World Trade Center and the president of this United States said, let's go get them, like he was some cowboy on a horse in the cavalry, instead of being the peacemaker, not necessarily peacemaker, and being able to stop what had already happened, but at least show that he was a reasoning person, a cool-minded person. Because if you remember, right after that, there were guys in America went around beating up people who were Arab.
There were
or
some
who were Muslims, and they had nothing to do with it.
Right, that's obviously wrong. So, in your view, we should, if Al Qaeda attacks the United States, we shouldn't try to take out Al Qaeda. We shouldn't try to bomb their training camps.
Al Qaeda wouldn't attack the United States if the United States would come to the table and sit down with people like a reasoning government, like it's supposed to be. And we keep on bombing and bombing and bombing and bombing and bombing. Who you think gonna stop it? You seem like you're a reasoning person. I like the questions you're putting out to people. I like your attitude. I like the spirit about it. But in reality, who is going to be the one to say, let's stop? Who's going to be the one to say, let's all sit around this table? And I'll give you some evidence.
I'll tell you, I hope it's Barack Obama.
The Iroquois created this peace table with five Indian nations because they kept fighting with each other.
And what I don't know what to do in the United States. I mean, I don't know how to ever redress the land we took from the Native Americans. I don't believe, though, it would be justified for them to kill every one of us. And yet I think we must do whatever we can to live in peace and harmony and to give Native Americans every single right we can give them, whether it be environmental.
No, I use that as an example because they were able to have peace.
Well, I don't think we have peace. Tribes. I mean, we occupy their territory, right? I mean, the entire United States occupies.
We're talking about now what you were talking about with this. If this Arab, this war continues over there in the Middle East, and as you can very well see, it's spreading. Now, if this is going to continue, I'm going to use the example that the Iroquois people used to bring those five nations under a peaceful settlement. You got to give people, you got to find out from people what it is that's hurting you. What
you
do,
and I tell you, I love where you're coming from. I really do. I just think that sometimes you meet an implacable foe, and the poor Iroquois had a wonderful way of making peace, but they couldn't make peace with the white man, and now they don't
because
have their lands.
Because the white man don't want to make peace
well,
with
that's
him.
Right, and now they don't have their lands anymore. And so I asked myself, should Israel make peace with the Palestinian Authority? Abbas, absolutely, because I think he sincerely wants peace. The two of them can work out a deal. Should Israel make peace with someone who says, I'm going to kill you, I will never make peace with you? I don't know how you can make peace with someone who says, I don't care what you say, I'm going to kill you.
Knock the wrong men out of the way and put some women at the table.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. That's a great idea. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate that. Let me go to Jan. Jan, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Guys, go ahead, Jan. What are your thoughts? What do you think about Barack Obama's comment to the whole situation?
First of all, I'm a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother. And statistics have proven the most casualties are children, people who have nothing to do with this. I really don't care what goes on. I can't take a side with what happened back in 1967, 47, whatever. But I do know one thing. And I have followed this situation. I have many friends who were Jewish. I work with them. It was a great joy when Israel was established. But ever since then, every time it seems like we're getting close to peace, Israel sabotages it.
So what do you think Israel should have done in this case? They're being rained down with these hundreds of missiles. What should they have done? Should they have...
First of all, let's not call these missiles. Let's call them rockets. That's
okay.
What they are.
Well, they're rockets. Okay.
Well, yeah, let's not talk about missiles. I know something about missiles. These are not missiles.
Okay.
Number
what should
one,
Israel have done?
Let's talk about the checkpoints. Let's talk about the
No, but my
water.
Question is, what should
let's
Israel have done about the
food.
Missiles?
Let's talk about the wall. You know, let's talk about what the Palestinians are under.
Well, here's what I'm trying to understand. Israel has said that the moment the missiles stop, the war will stop.
No, we already said we weren't going to call them missiles. We're talking
okay,
about
rockets. Bombs, whatever you want to call things shot from the air that do damage.
Things shot from the air that fall normally as a dud. Let's talk
right.
about four. The last statistic I heard was 400 Palestinians dead and four Israeli. Is something out of whack with that with you?
Well, you know, I'll tell you. I one of the things I find interesting is that they have admitted that more than 300 of the 400 Palestinians dead are the people that were shooting the missiles. And so, obviously, my heart goes out to any civilian that dies, whether they're killed on either side. I mean, what's interesting, sad, is that some of the Hamas fighters are accidentally killing their own children with their missiles, too, before even Israel did anything.
With their rockets?
Yes, with their rockets. There's an AP story that I read on my show. December 21st, before Israel ever got involved, Hamas was sending out so many missiles that some of them would hit...
So many rockets?
So many rockets that they would hit Gazan homes. And kill like a two daughters,
well, look,
5 and 12.
I just want to say this because I don't want to take a lot of time.
My question is,
intelligent people talk.
What when a country? I mean, Israel withdrew from Gaza completely. They left every inch of territory. Should
and what happened? What's with the checkpoints? Tell me about the water.
Well, the checkpoints are. I mean, we have checkpoints between the United States and Mexico. We have checkpoints between the United States and Canada.
I'm not talking about the United States and Mexico. I'm talking about. The checkpoints.
Should Israel allow every Gazan
from getting
in?
From their fields where they grow their food.
Well, you're talking about the West Bank now. Yeah, you're talking about the West Bank. In Gaza, Israel left every inch of the West Bank.
And so everything is fine and it's
no,
all
it's not. I mean, I think that if the Gazans had acted peacefully, I would say that Israel's a democratic country. And the majority of Israelis, certainly not all of them, but the majority of Israelis do want a two-state solution. That's what
everyone
poll shows.
Does.
Well, no, but
I
not. But Hamas
do.
Does not. Hamas has said, we will not rest. We will not stop.
Okay, well, just tell me this. Hamas democratically won the election. The United States put the screws to them with this, okay, well, this is a terrorist organization.
But then they took their political opposition and put them all in jails. But one of the interesting things is that Israel embalming the jails has actually freed some of the opposition to Hamas, the people in Fatah, the Palestinian Authority. It's a tough situation. I
okay,
would hope that the Palestinians...
All I have to say is the bombing has to stop. It's too
On
one-sided.
Both sides or just one
All
side?
All of it has to stop.
On both sides or just one
both
side?
Both sides.
Okay. How would you, if you were in the Israeli government... Convince
no,
Hamas
no,
to
me
stop.
If I was a Palestinian. Ask me what I would do.
What would you do if you were a Palestinian? Would you shoot missiles into Israel?
If someone's foot was on my neck.
Right, but I'm not talking about someone's foot being on your neck. If you,
well, that's the practical situation.
Well,
I mean,
here's my so you would shoot missiles into Israel, even though you know that a whole bunch more will come in and it might kill your children. And what's the goal? See, that's what I'm trying to understand, the psychology. What is the goal of shooting these things that you call rockets that I admit don't kill near the number of the Israeli missiles?
Not near.
What is the point of shooting those missiles? Is it just for pride?
Because they
is it a death wish?
Their backs are up against the wall.
Do you think that, but let me ask you this, would you, even though you knew that if you shot a missile, you're going to get back
a rocket.
Okay, if would you shoot a rocket if you know that coming in return is going to be a missile that's going to flatten your house, might kill you, might kill your children, and you know that your rocket is might kill someone, might kill an Israeli child, but probably wouldn't. You know, you shoot off 200 missiles and you might kill 20 people.
200 rockets.
200 rockets. Well, you know, rockets. Qassams. I'll call them by their name. Would you shoot off these Qassams knowing that you're going to get back a really strong response, or would you say, you know what, this isn't solving our crisis, maybe we should sit down at the table?
What has happened in the last 6 months of the truth, so-called truth? What's happened?
What's happened is they kept shooting the Qassams, the Islamic Jihad.
No, they didn't shoot them continuously.
No, they didn't. You're right. The number of Qassams shot went down, and then the truce ended, and then Hamas said, well, truce is over, we're shooting the Qassams.
And what happened? Because I heard it on CNN.
What happened was Hamas shot the Qassams. Right.
You know, it's like I went back in my own notes into 1996, and I looked at what was going on. What? Oh God, we're near peace. What happened? Israel started bombing.
I don't know what you're talking about in 96, but I'll tell you this.
Given Israel, there's no retaliation. There's no comparison.
See, I don't think there should be any war. I don't think that Hamas should shoot the Qassams. I don't think Israel should shoot missiles. I'd like to see them sit down and negotiate a two-state solution. And
why do you think it hasn't happened?
Because the Palestinian Hamas doesn't support that. Now the Palestinian Authority does.
Hamas is a small group. I mean, you're talking about
They control the whole territory of Gaza.
Well, what is Gaza compared to what's been going on since 1947? You know, I mean, we're talking about...
I don't know. I mean, why hasn't Al-Qaeda and the United States sat down and talked and discussed their matters?
No, that has nothing to do with it. Al-Qaeda hasn't come over here and taken over our land.
Well, they've killed 3,000 of our citizens.
No, this is apples and oranges. It has nothing to do with it.
I tell you, I do appreciate your call, though.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Let me go on to Jay. Jay, welcome to the show. Jay, are you there?
I'm here, waiting.
Welcome.
Oh, okay. Great. So am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just would like to say that I disagree with your nature of interrupting your guests when they're trying to make a point. So I hope that as we continue this conversation, you won't interrupt and try to instigate the conversation any further than you already have.
Well, as long as you don't go on for so much time that I don't have time to get to another caller, you go right ahead, and you don't interrupt me, I won't interrupt you. Go ahead.
Sounds good to me. So the front page of the Washington Post today shows two pictures side by side. I imagine that they call it fair and balanced reporting. The two pictures, one of them depicts a family with a child's bloodied face, a mother who has some obvious wounds, and they're standing in front of a dead child. And the picture next to it is an Israeli woman who is apparently crying and hugging a police officer, and they're trying to call this fair and balanced reporting. One clearly is grief and suffering that can't be faked, and another is a woman who's crying because apparently she heard the sound of a loud rocket, or who knows what she's crying about, or if, indeed, she's even crying. This is what our Washington Post delivered to us today, and I imagine this is where you get a lot of your information. It's not fair reporting. It's not balanced reporting.
Well, to answer you, I get my information from lots of sources. I look at the Washington Post. It's true. I also look at CNN, the New York Times. Today I looked at Israeli newspapers. I looked at the Arab newspapers, the ones that were in English. I admit that I can't read Arabic. But in my view, shooting civilians is bad. That no one should ever, ever, ever intentionally shoot civilians. And one of the things that I've noticed is that Israel is trying, and it's very, very hard, but trying to avoid civilian targets and shoot at Hamas. In my view, when Hamas puts its military targets in the middle of civilians, it raises almost an impossible situation. It reminds me of the police in Mumbai, where you had terrorists that took hostages. And in order to attack the terrorists, some of the hostages got killed. And it's an awful, awful situation, but I don't know a way out of it other than, and this may be what you think Israel should do, sit there, take the Qassams, and just, you know, try to ignore the fact that hundreds of rockets are raining down on your territory every day. Is that what you think Israel should do?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've been to Israel, I've been to Gaza, I've been to the West Bank. When I was there, I witnessed the Israeli army shooting at civilians, clearly when they had the option not to. They were shooting at civilians and they were shooting at children. So, and I was also in the West Bank and Gaza, and I can't say that I saw aggressive acts other than stone throwing by, on the part of the Palestinians. So, and also, as far as the Israelis, I know, we seem to be confusing the term Jew and Israel. I don't want to defame Jewish people by bringing them into this mess. This is a mess created by Israelis, not Jewish people. Many good Jewish people here in the United States that have nothing to do with the state of Israel and their criminal acts. What they do, the state of Israel, is very aggressive. They have, you've used several analogies tonight, Native Americans, the police in Mumbai or whatever. The best analogy I find is the one used by the former South African president, Nelson Mandela, when he compared the Palestinians' situation to that of apartheid. And that is basically what you have.
Jay, I have to go to a public service announcement. I apologize. Let me just ask you just one quick question. Does Israel have the right of self-defense, or doesn't it? And I'm going to yes, no, or maybe.
They have the right to self-defense, okay. But this is not a case of self-defense.
All right.
First of all, every Israeli I've met has the option to leave. I've never met a Palestinian who has the option to leave.
Wow.
So if you're
that's
faced
a straight,
with the...
I'm going to address that statement, but I've...
There you go again, starting to interrupt your
guest. Well, that's because I've got to go to a public service announcement. We'll be back with more of Dialogue and 202-588-0893 right after this.
As an exceptionally eventful 2008 draws to a close, the Jazz and Justice on WPFW is more important than ever. We are each being challenged by events at home and abroad. WPFW is no different. That's why we turn to listeners like you to ensure that WPFW's great programs, the ones you listen to this very week, will remain secure for all of our community. Please call 202-588-0999, extension 344, to make your pledge. Or pledge online anytime at WPFW.org to make your year-end gift today. Thanks.
Welcome back to Dialogue. We are discussing a very controversial issue, and I recognize it's controversial, but thus far, people have been relatively civil, and I appreciate that. I really do. The phone number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. The prior call, Jay, raised an interesting issue. Why don't Israelis just leave? I'm not quite sure where they would go. Would they go to the United States? Israel, of course, was founded as a nation for survivors of both the Holocaust and those of Arab nations. A lot of people don't realize the majority of Israelis are descendants of Jews from Arab countries that were forced out in the 40s, places like Iraq and Egypt and throughout the Arab world. So I'm not quite sure where they would go. I don't think the Palestinians should have to leave either. Now, there are 23 Arab countries, and many of them have left. In fact, there's a fairly large Palestinian diaspora. I don't want either side to go anywhere. I think they can live in peace. I think that there could be a very peaceful state in Gaza that if Hamas would stop shooting Qassam, frankly, Hamas is never going to stop. If the people of Gaza were to overthrow Hamas, if the Palestinian Authority were to have control, or someone else, I recognize the Palestinian Authority, it's pretty corrupt. If there were a third way, someone who would do what some of our callers have talked about, someone who'd be willing to sit at the table, to sit at the table and say, look, we won't shoot missiles at you if you don't shoot missiles at us. One of the things it's very interesting to me that Israel said today is they were considering a French ceasefire. Israel's view is the moment the Qassam stop, they will stop the war. Now, I'm going to see if that's true. I want to hold them to it. But what's interesting to me is that Hamas isn't stopping. They can stop. You know, they hold, it's like a guy in jail who holds the keys to his own jail. Hamas can stop the Israeli attack any moment. All they have to do is stop their Qassams. Why do they do it? Is it pride? I think it partly is. I think it's pride. I think they recognize that they are willing to sacrifice, even if it has to be their own families, for the pride of fighting back against Israel. But is that a method that's going to help anybody? As they say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and we're all pretty much eyeless and toothless. Does Israel have the right to self-defense? Jay says yes. Then what? What should they do? Should there be sanctions? One of the ways that the apartheid government of South Africa was taken down was not by invasion, but through sanctions. Are sanctions the right way? Or do you think that sanctions punish the people of Gaza too much? What would you do if you were an Israeli leader? What would you do if you were a Palestinian Arab? Would you try to find some way to get rid of Hamas? Would you allow them to shoot a missile from your backyard? There's a story from 6 months ago, before this truce that never really lasted very long, of a woman who owned an apple orchard. And the Hamas kept putting the, I don't know if it was apples, it was an orchard of some kind. It kept putting missiles in there, and Israel kept shooting back to hit those missiles. And finally, she had to pick all the apples, basically burn down her orchard, because only then would Hamas stop putting the rockets there. What I find so interesting about all of this is the people, I do make a distinguishing feature, and I think we always should, between Gazans and the people that run it, the Hamas. I mean, I've never felt that Gazans are the ones that should be suffering, but I do think that Hamas has got to be stopped. Otherwise, it is the Gazans themselves that suffer most of all. They are the ones who are really suffering, because the Qassams don't destroy Israel. I know that's Hamas's goal, but they don't destroy Israel. They just lead to, well, a very strong counterattack. But if you disagree, feel free to call in, or if you agree, 202-588-0999, 202-588-0999. Let's see, we've got Kwaku. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, before I make my comment, I would like to know some facts from you, since you are expert, it seems like you are expert in the region. I would like to, this is a question I had always wanted to ask the presidential candidates during the election time, but I never had a chance to go near them or something. But I was going to ask them what would be their Middle East policy as far as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is concerned. But here, I think I have right moment to ask the question. But before I do that, I would like to know, what is the population of Israel?
It's about 5.5 million.
5.5 million?
Yes.
Okay.
It's about the size of New Jersey.
Okay. You know, as far as U.S. Foreign aid is concerned, this country gives Israel $4 billion a year.
That's right. That's right.
And it gives Egypt the
It gives Egypt $2
billion. $2
billion. That's right.
Okay. So,
and it gives Germany and Japan huge amounts through NATO, some $80 billion.
I'm not Einstein, or I don't know calculus.
We give a lot of foreign aid, it's true.
I know long division, okay? Arithmetic, elementary arithmetic. Let's divide 5 million by 4 billion and see how much each person is getting per capita in
Israel.
It's
about $800 a person in my vague calculus.
Much?
About $800 a person.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
Little
well,
less.
I had always thought that this dollar diplomacy this country plays maybe is what is contributing to. Because from where I come from in Ghana, in West Africa, we have a saying, say, when your hands or your finger. Oh, when your finger is in somebody's mouth, you don't slap the person, okay?
Hmm.
In other words, you don't bite the hand that feed you.
Right, right.
Okay? Same way the Israelis are teaching the Palestinians, okay? They're punishing them. They claim the Palestinians are attacking them with, firing missiles at them. But Israel is the source of their, they can make or break Palestinians whenever they want because they control their economy. So you have such a relationship.
So what's the answer in your view, Kwaku? I want to move on to another caller, but I want to get to your answer.
The same way the Israelis are teaching the Palestinians, don't bite the hand that feed you, America can teach Israel too. Okay, we should cut off the aid. We give them the $4 billion.
And if America cuts off the aid and Hamas shoots the rockets, you think Israel will then not respond and will...
What I'm saying, I think there's some ulterior motive behind all this trouble going. It's just to distract America from doing things here. Every time a new president is coming on, in the 80s,
But you don't deny Israel has a right to respond to the rockets, or do you think that Israel should simply not respond and should simply take the rockets? I mean, admittedly, they don't kill that many. Maybe a nation should
just sit and take the missiles.
No
one should not even the UN can sanction any one country to this. There's no reciprocity to what is going on there. Okay.
So in your view, when a country is attacked, if it's a big country, like in the United States, for example, if we had rockets raining on our cities and they weren't killing that many people, we should let it go and not respond, recognizing that the people shooting the rockets really have their own grievances.
You think that people are crazy to attack you if you haven't done any mischief? The Al-Qaeda people who attacked this country after we use their help to beat the Russians and left them and their country to rot. Russia bombed Afghanistan to...
In my view, violence never solves the answer.
Yes.
I think there are legitimate grievances, absolutely, of the people
yes.
in Gaza, but I would ask that they sit at the table and discuss it rather than lobbing rockets, which just leads to a greater response and causes more Palestinian children to die.
What I'm saying is, if human beings cannot sit down and talk their differences, and think that they can solve problems with guns, then let them be. They are in the Bible.
I agree.
They call all of them semis. They can be Jews or they can buy. But in that region of the world, we call them semis.
Well, I think dialogue is always the best way, which is why I'm here on this show.
I
have to go to the next caller, though. Thank you for your call, Kwaku. It's very interesting. Let's go to Katrine. Katrine, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Do you have a question you want to ask me, or should I just sort of...
Well, let me ask you about Obama's statement, where he said, if somebody was sending rockets into my house or my two daughters sleep at night, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop that. Do you think that he went too far in saying everything in his power?
Well, that just seems like a kind of harsh statement to me, because it doesn't take into account things like the police. Like, I mean, I can't imagine a situation where I'm just sitting there, you know, la-di-da, and then all of a sudden rockets come in.
That's true, but that's the problem, right? Because in the United States, there is a police. You may or may not trust them, but there is a police. In the world, whether there is a world policeman or not is kind of unclear. Israel did go to the United Nations and asked them to stop Hamas, and the United Nations basically told Israel no. What do you think should have been done?
Well, I think that the answer to any of this, I'm sort of extrapolating and going a bit past it.
Okay.
With me, if you will.
Go ahead.
Then, in order to really figure out what's going on here, you do have to look at the history. And there's just so much history on both sides. Given that, I don't even know how to explain this, but it's like, given the way that this whole thing started, and it's just hard to know what to do. I mean, I've been listening to your show for, you know, since when it started, and it just seems to me like the answers are never that simple, because...
I agree with you. The answer is not simple. I don't think there is an easy answer at all. I fully concede that. I named the show, Is There a Good Option? I have to tell you, I don't think there is a good option.
Right.
So please don't think that I think this is simple, because
I certainly don't. I wouldn't think that. But what I'm saying, like, for example, what Obama said, that he just made it seem like it's that simple situation where, you know, Israeli people are just sitting there la-di-da, and all of a sudden they get rockets hit. But there's so much more to this, because one thing I did hear, I listen a lot to Democracy Now, and I would recommend you to listen to that if you don't, because
I do.
More insight. Well, good.
I like Amy Goodman most
right,
of the time.
Good. We're on the same page, but it seems like what I was listening to them today, and they said, among other things, that, well, maybe it wasn't today, it was before, they said that the people during this truce that wasn't, apparently Israel was shooting rockets or whatever it is they were shooting. They were shooting.
Actually, Islamic Jihad, just so you understand. During the truce, there's a group in Gaza called Islamic Jihad that apparently is more radical than Hamas. And they shot a few dozen rather than hundreds of Qassams into Israel during the truce.
What I also heard, though, is that Israel was shooting into Gaza and things like that to try and provoke a response. And then when they did provoke a response, they got the right to say, oh, well, gee, you know, we're doing this.
That's not true in the present case, because in this case, ever since the Hudna, the truce ended, the only people until, obviously, December 26th that shot missiles was was Hamas. In fact, Israel even went to Egypt. And what's so interesting about this conflict is that Egypt gave the green light to Israel. It's fascinating. Now we actually see a divide between Sunni and Shia, with the Sunni Arabs and their repressive governments. Let's face it. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan is less repressive. The Sunni Arabs tend to support what Israel's doing, at least the leadership does. The Shia, which would be the Iranian government, the Syrian government, Hezbollah and Hamas, do not. So we're actually seeing a divide among Arabs on this point, which I find very interesting, because Egypt before was completely in the camp of Hamas, but I think Egypt is tired of this.
Right. Well, I think one thing more that I would say, though, is that when it comes back to your asking people about the right for self-defense, I do think that countries have the right to defend themselves. However, this situation, I don't think it's as simple as self-defense, because you always do have to consider that you're a bigger country. And I think that, there is a very strong parallel drawn between, like, what happened after 9/11.
I think there's a very strong parallel. Here you have terrorists who are nowhere near as strong as the United States of America, but they did a horrific act. I don't think anyone can deny that killing 3,000 innocent Americans was horrific.
What the Americans did is that they went to Afghanistan, and it's like, who were the people who were behind 9/11, okay? They did not nearly have as much power, and when the U.S. went to bomb Afghanistan, there was a running joke that they didn't find any places to bomb, because there was nothing left to bomb, but they did it anyway. And then I would contrast that with what I heard. I could be mistaken about what was going on during World War II, that London was really being bombed, but the British attitude was like, you can bomb all you want, but you won't change who we are. And I think that this situation, I'm just going to draw a parallel between the U.S. and Israel. In the U.S. going after Afghanistan and going after Iraq, that changed who we are as Americans, and I don't think it changed us in a good way with all this extra security and stuff we're doing now. And I think that you could say the same thing for Israel. Israel, in being so proactive and in going after Hamas with all its strength, it's doing bad things to the democracy of Israel itself. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. There are no easy answers. I make one slight distinction, or maybe not slight at all. Maybe it's a strong distinction that I make, and you may disagree, and that's perfectly fair. In my view, I was completely against the war in Iraq from the beginning. Iraq did not attack us. I thought it was a colossal mistake, and I think that's the case. I for one, did support, I have to admit, the war in Afghanistan. I think we've done a horrible job of it. I think in fact, the Taliban is taking control again. But I do, because I believe in the right of self-defense, I did think we had the right to go into Al-Qaeda, and in that respect, I guess my views are closer to the president-elect's, who also thinks that even if we have to drop a bomb in Pakistan, if we have actionable intelligence, as he puts it, of people that are out to get us, then we can do something. But I understand there are differences on that. In my view, you should never attack unprovoked, ever, which is why you're absolutely right about the war in Iraq, but I do think at some point you've got to act in self-defense. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. We have another call on the line. Marguerite, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I still hear someone talking there.
Oh, that's because there's a delay on the radio. Turn your radio down and just talk to me.
Yeah. All right. First of all, I want to make a correction here. He says Germany and Japan also got aid from the United States.
Yes.
Let me make this clear. Germany and Japan both paid the United States back.
No, I'm talking about the fact that we defend them for free. We spend
defend
at
them.
NATO.
You knock them down first, okay? Especially
well,
Germany.
That's true, but
all
I...
All right, so you help them build up. And everything, and every cent and penny that Germany owed us, they repaid it.
But
Japan.
Currently, we have troops stationed in Germany and in Japan and in South Korea, for that matter. We don't charge them, and we defend them for free. Some would say that Japan and Germany are rich enough to defend themselves, but that costs approximately tens of billions a year. In fact, the latest figure I've seen is about $80 billion a year. That's all I was saying.
I'm talking about World War II.
Oh, I'm talking about today. I'm talking about today. We are today have troops in that we fund.
Well, of course you do.
Right. Well, that's what I was talking about.
Of course you got to pay. You pay rent when you rent an apartment.
Okay.
You're on a German ground. You're on a Japanese ground.
It depends. Some would say that we shouldn't be there. That's too expensive. That's the only point I was making.
Well, that's the whole idea. That's why we have the United Nations. That's why people like the United States have Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines all over the world, just like other countries do here. But now back to the Gaza Strip.
Yeah,
here.
Go ahead.
First of all, I disagree with Israel, 1,000%. They have undercut the Palestinians and Hamas for years. How many times do you remember Israel been in wars with different countries?
Well, lots of times. Listen, the Arab world did not want the Israeli state. Well, wait a minute. If you say that someone's, if you have a kid in school and he's always getting beaten up, do you assume that the kid is a troublemaker? I mean, just because Israel's been in constant war doesn't mean that it necessarily is a troublemaker.
Well, that kid that always gets beat up, he better fights back.
Well, I think a kid beaten up should fight back.
In this case, Hamas is fighting back.
Fighting back against whom?
Enough is enough.
Israel left Gaza. They had the entire Gaza to themselves. If they hadn't shot the missiles,
depressed them. They don't give them enough food for the kids or the mothers or fathers, whoever the elderly. They only give them the bare minimum.
Let me ask you this: in 2000,
bare hospitalizations.
In 2000, there were the Camp David peace accords.
Yes, I remember that.
And you remember that Israel offered, there's disagreement, was it 95% or 96% of the entire West Bank in Gaza as an offer, and at that time the Palestinian leader was Yasser Arafat, and he not only refused the offer, he didn't give a counter offer, and he began the first intifada. To me, that was a real lost opportunity. To me,
what
he should have done is sat down at the table, negotiated the tiny difference between them, and I think that, at least in his case, he preferred to be a martyr than to be a leader. In my view, the people who run Hamas are not trying to help their own people. I think there's a clear path. I think shooting Qassams doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the Palestinians. How could it possibly help the Palestinians? They are suffering miserably. You're absolutely right. It certainly doesn't help Israel. Why do they do this rather than – why don't they give up on the destruction of Israel and support a two-state solution? Wouldn't that be the right way out of this?
You know what? Israel is not the easiest to get along with. Believe me, especially not that since the United States backed him up. We're sending billions over there.
But my question is, do you think that there should be two states there, or do you think that Hamas should, destroy the state of Israel? I think that there's a clear difference between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority.
I don't think anybody should destroy anyone.
Okay, so...
But Israelis are troublemakers. They've been since the 1945s that I remember, and I was just a little kid. I was born in 37. I'm 71 years old. I went through World War II in Germany. I saw... The British, the English, the fight, the Italians. I saw everybody fighting. I was a kid. I was in Hamburg. We were bombed out.
Do you think that was unjustified?
Any war is unjustified.
Do you think that self-defense is unjustified? Should we not have been in World War II?
Self-defense?
Should the United States have stayed out of World War II?
Germany almost won against the United States and all nations. It took a hell of a lot of nations to fight Germany.
Are you saying you wish Germany had won? I'm not clear what you're saying.
I don't wish for anything. I don't wish for any war. I don't like Iraq. I don't like this whole thing with Iraq. We were attacked by the Taliban. We weren't attacked by Saddam Hussein.
You're absolutely right about
what
that.
What he did in his country should have been his business. Who is the United States? The police of the whole world?
Couldn't agree with you
more. The bank of the whole world?
I couldn't agree with you more. But to me, there is a difference. And maybe you disagree with me. I think there are unjust wars, and yes, I do think they're just wars, and maybe everyone's going to get mad at me at this. I'm not a pacifist. I do think that when you are attacked, you have a right to respond. Now, that's why we had no right to go into Iraq. Absolutely no right. Iraq did not attack us. But in World War II, in response to an aggressive Nazi Germany, I think the world did have a right to respond, and
yes,
I'm glad they
did. And I agree with that. And I felt sorry for the Jewish people, and I still feel sorry for the Holocaust and people that, and some of the survivors. I know one of them who's a survivor from that, and I'm German.
So my only point is that I think
I like blacks, white, yellow, everybody.
My only point is
I don't like our politicians.
I think join the club. I just think as human beings we have to try to distinguish, and there are people who are pure pacifists, and I respect them, who believe that you really should turn the other cheek. If someone hits you, you should turn the other cheek and let them hit you again.
No.
There are people who believe that. What I'm trying to figure out here in this morass that we find ourselves is, when is war just? When is self-defense just? When does it go too far? Should Israel have taken a lesser action, perhaps? Or should Israel have not responded? Should the United States have not responded in Afghanistan? When is war just and when is it unjust? That may be one of the great philosophical questions of all time, but to me it's one that we should strive to answer. Thank you very much for your call. I do appreciate it. I want to get on to Mike. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I would say people have a right to self-defense and to defend themselves if, for example, they're being blockaded by a nation, if the means of funds for them to run their nation is being subverted, if oil shipments are being cut off. For example, if a nation needed to import food and they couldn't import food because another nation was blockading, that, by international law, before Bush, before Reagan, was considered an act of war.
That's true.
Now,
so let me ask you this.
Being that, I just want to clarify the narrative before I make my comment. The narrative was the mandate from the UN, from the European nations, was to create Israel. There was the 50s, there was a war. Now, the people that fought in the war, even if they were pushed back, at that time, international law was still in place. They were supposed to be put, even if you took the land, because they learned from Germany, they said you needed to return that land. Now, the only nations that were impacted by that were the nations that, for example, the Japanese, the Germans, anybody that lost the war, but that law was still in place. Now, there were a lot of resolutions passed in the UN that were never enforced. And if we went in any other administrative mandates, you would go in order of the mandates that need to be enforced. But we jumped, and we always overlook Israel. Now, when you say Hamas, Israel ex Hamas to stop Hamas, every people have a right to resist. Now, being that there is actually no nation, there was no nation at that mandate, and they were trying to create two nations, Hamas is in the Gaza Strip. I think, for the large part, a lot of Palestinians and other Arabs, not that I speak for Arabs, I don't hope Arabs like they're better than anybody else, they would say, you know what, I'm really firing a Qassam into my backyard. And let's be clear, a Qassam is just an overrated bottle rocket. There's no guidance systems in there. They're using basic calculus and physics to try to get it into the area.
So, just so you know, there are more than Qassams now. They've shot Iranian and Soviet missiles into Ashdod and Ashkelon. So
compared to MX...
absolutely. Israel's got a much better fire force. No question about it.
MX Qassam is less rated than the missiles that were fired in World War II. Okay? It is not a Scud. It is not...
So in your view, Israel should have done what? Ignored the Qassams?
What I'm saying is, let's correct the narrative. The narrative, we're talking about a nation that gets trillions, not billions, trillions from the United States. Fine.
Israel does not get trillions from the United States.
Nation missiles into, let's for the better, to southeast. What you're talking about is jets being flown, drones being flown.
So in your view, Israel should have accepted the Qassams and not responded. That's your view.
And then you blow up hostages. I mean, I've been watching this for years.
Is that your view? I'm just trying to understand. Mike, is it your view that Israel should not have responded? Should they have gone to the United Nations as they did? What should they have done? Should they have tried sanctions?
Has a Qassam ever blown up a hospital? Has a Qassam ever blown up a hospital?
So you're not going to answer my question? What would you do if you were head of a nation and people shot missiles? How would you respond? Should you go to the United Nations? Is that the right way to go? What would you do?
The Paul has the statistics of the battles. And
you're not really answering my question. I mean, I'm just curious because, you know, you could talk about it as much as you want. I just want an answer from you. Would you respond or would you not respond? I think what you're saying is that if the United States, for example, has a bunch of Qassams that are coming from Tijuana, that it should not, the Mexican government shouldn't complain, shouldn't try to, what should we do in that situation?
Let's say if the United States, for example, had in 1812 had a bunch of Qassams coming from, let's say, upper Toronto, from the Onondaga Indians trying to reclaim their land, yes, the United States responded because they were colonial power. What I'm saying, you're liking this onto, to keep it based, you're liking this onto, they have the means to solve their own problem. Because just like Rodney King had the means, if he would have just laid down and let the police beat him, he would have been okay. That is what I'm
hearing. I don't see it the same way, because here you had a truce.
I'm not putting any platitudes.
Here's the thing. Israel was, they had a truce. They had a truce. Israel completely left Gaza. I want to make sure everyone gets the chronology right here. They didn't start the sanctions, you know, restricting trade between Gaza and Israel until after Hamas began its, you know, its declared aim of trying to destroy the state of Israel, sending, you know, terrorist suicide bombers in and Qassams and everything. That's when it started. I actually like sanctions. Not food, not necessary supplies. I was very glad to see that Israel allowed 100 trucks in today of food and necessary hospital supplies. But I think that sometimes sanctions is the best way to bring down a repressive regime. It worked with South Africa. I think it would have worked with Iraq. I think it would work with Hamas. I think sanctions, rather than responding with violence, is the best way. But when a country is being attacked, I have to say I agree with Barack Obama. Israel had to respond. My hope, though, is that they can respond in such a way that the people of Gaza themselves will recognize Qassams, missiles, rockets, they don't solve anything. They never brought a state. They never save a single life. All they have to do is stop the rockets. The problem is, I fear that Hamas has too much control for the Palestinians to stop them. But I'm always hopeful. And I believe one day Hamas will be gone and the Palestinians will be able to sit down at the table and have that state that I think they should have and negotiate a fair solution where both sides can sit down in peace. Hope you enjoyed it. If you agree or disagree, let me know. My website's radioinsidescoop.com. This is Mark Levine signing off.
Part of a genuine democracy. We all must be encouraged actively to partake in its conversation.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next Tuesday at 7 for another edition of Dialogue.
WPFW, Washington.